Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're learning what our priorities as Christians should be as we wait for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, as we go back to basics.
One of the primary things that's happening in the tribulation period is God is breaking Israel of their long history of rebellion, their history of unbelief, their history of independence, and he's reducing them to a place where they will have to utterly depend on him and look to him for salvation. That's the first thing that's happening in the tribulation. The second thing is the tribulation is a time of judgment upon the wicked. According to Isaiah chapter 13, verses 10 and 11, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity, says the Lord. So this is the second purpose of the tribulation, to bring the judgment, the wrath of God upon a rebellious, wicked, sinful, Christ-rejecting world. So when you think of the purpose of the tribulation, to break Israel and to punish the world, the church doesn't have any place in that purpose that's being accomplished. Therefore, I think it is completely inconsistent with the scripture to put the church in the tribulation. There are many other things that we could look to support the pre-tribulational rapture of the church, but I'll leave it at that and move back onto the purpose that God has in this particular point of comforting us with these words. So we receive comfort knowing that the Lord's going to deliver us from this judgment that is going to come, that we are not going to go through the tribulation period. That is of great comfort and encouragement to me. But it also brings us comfort in relation to loved ones that have gone on before us. And what we are told is that we will be reunited with them. And that's what Paul said there. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Who are the them that he's talking about? He's talking about those loved ones of ours that have gone before us. We're going to be reunited to them. That this is not the end of the relationship. That when somebody passes away, when somebody leaves this world before we do, somebody that we love, they go on to be with the Lord and we're going to be reunited with them. That is tremendously comforting. But through this dark season, there is that hope. There's that confidence and there's that comfort that comes that loved one who's gone is not gone forever, but we are going to be reunited with them, and we're going to be reunited at that great event itself. That's going to be the reunion, our gathering together. It's going to be at the rapture that we're all going to be brought together again, and there we will then, from that point on, be with the Lord, and finally, we are going to heaven. That's comforting right there. If that's not comforting, then you don't understand heaven. But we're going to heaven. We're going to be with the Lord. We're going to always be with him. And when we think about the rapture, that's what the Lord wanted us to understand partially. He wanted us to understand that ultimately we're going to be with him. And it's going to be good. and it's going to be glorious, and it's going to be eternal. It's never going to stop. But secondly, in light of the Lord's return, God would have us to purify ourselves. The Apostle John, in his first letter, he wrote these words. He said, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed," when he comes back, when he returns, "we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." So practically speaking, the doctrine of the imminent return of Christ, the rapture, the fact that Jesus could come back at any moment, there's no event that needs to occur before the Lord can come back for his church. That truth is to provoke us to purity. Now, let me ask you a question. This is hypothetical, but let's just say that we knew, we had an inside tip that tomorrow night the Lord was coming back. So if we knew that, if we knew that for sure, how would we conduct our lives in the next day or so? Would we conduct our lives radically different than we did yesterday or last week or last month or last year? Would we have to make some really serious adjustments in our spiritual lives? Well, if we would, then we are obviously not living the way God intended us to live. You see, God intentionally left this coming again of the Lord for his church. He left it open as an event that could happen any time to help us to be ready all the time. Because as a sinner, you know, I have a tendency, we have tendencies to sort of drift. We have tendencies toward hard-heartedness, and we have tendencies toward wandering away from our commitment with the Lord. And God graciously gave us this promise that the Lord was going to come back unexpectedly. He gave us that promise so we could always be on our toes, so to speak, spiritually. He wants us to always be ready. Now, of course, it would be absolutely foolish and wrong if I were to say, hey, you know what? I've got an inside tip. The Lord is coming back tomorrow night. But it would be equally wrong if I stood up here and said, I'm going to guarantee you right now the Lord isn't coming back tomorrow night. You see, the whole point is this. We don't know. We don't know the moment that the Lord is going to return. And that's why we've got to be ready always. And that teaching is to have a purifying effect in our lives. After last week's service where Pastor Chuck was speaking about some of these things, somebody approached me afterward and said, now what if in the midst of, you know, the Lord's return, what if I was engaged in something that I shouldn't be doing? Where would I end up? And I said, well, that's really the big question, isn't it? And that's a question you do not want to gamble with. You don't want to gamble with that. So this teaching is to have a purifying effect on us. We are to realize, you know, the Lord could come at any time. And I do not want to be in a position when the Lord comes to jeopardize whether or not I'm going to go with him. Or even, let's say, if I did go with him, I don't want to be in a position where I'm going to be ashamed before him or embarrassed before him or feeling that sense of failing him and letting him down. And I don't have to be. And I can avoid all of that by doing what John says we ought to naturally do if we're expecting the Lord's return. We purify ourselves even as he is pure. God wants us living pure lives, and we have that personal obligation to make sure that we're living the way he has told us to live according to his word. But then thirdly, is that we are to be abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what we're to be doing. We're to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, remember, that's the last verse we read in our scripture reading, verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 50, you remember, Paul says, "Behold, I will tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." And that's Paul's word for die. We shall not all die. So Paul is clearly talking about the rapture. And what he brings us to at the end of his little discussion on the rapture is what we're to do in light of the Lord's coming at any moment. We are to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, one of the things that I appreciate so much and have appreciated so much over the years in regard to Pastor Chuck's ministry has been the emphasis that he's always put on the fact that we, as individual Christian people, we have a calling from God and we have a work to accomplish for the Lord. I've always appreciated that. And even sometimes today when I'll be listening to him on the radio or something, I'll pick that up. And it stands out to me that this is something that he's always reminding us of. That serving the Lord isn't just for some select few. It's not for the clergy and then, you know, the laity are just sort of the spectators. No, serving the Lord is something that each and every one of us have the privilege of doing. It's something that each and every one of us have been commissioned to do. God has a work that he wants to do in my life, that he wants to do through my life. The same is true with you and every other believer on the planet. And as we wait for Jesus to return, we are to occupy ourselves with the things of the kingdom. We are to be, notice, not just serving the Lord, but we are to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Do we realize that our primary vocation is service to God? Your primary vocation is not what you do as a profession, as important as that is, but your primary vocation is your service to the Lord. Now, of course, obviously, many times God will use what you're doing as your profession as an opportunity for service to him. But when we talk about abounding in the work of the Lord, what are we talking about specifically? What is the work of the Lord? Well, the work of the Lord is, first of all, getting the gospel out. That is the great work of the Lord. Remember, Jesus commissioned the disciples, his followers, the apostles, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Preach the gospel to every living person, Jesus said. So this great work of the Lord, this great work of getting the message of salvation to the various nations and tribes and tongues and people, this is a work that we are all to be engaged in to some extent or another. We all have a contribution to make. Not everybody's going to do the same thing. Some people are going to actually go out and do it. Some people are going to be sent forth as a missionary. Some are going to go out because God's called them to go be an evangelist, preaching to the masses. Some are going to go into a community and lay the foundation for a church where people can come and hear the word and be built up. Others are going to play a support role. They're going to be in the background. They're going to be helping out through prayer. They're going to be helping out through financial aid. They're going to be contributing their talents and gifts and things in other areas. But it's all for the great cause of getting the gospel out. So that's the work of the Lord, getting the gospel out. Paul says, be abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, the question that all of us grapple with, we talked about it a few weeks ago, is how do I know what it is that God wants me to do? Well, that's something that, as we pointed out, that's something the Lord will show you as you seek him. He will put you in that place that he's designed for you to be, and he will use those gifts and talents and things that he's instilled in you by nature, by birth, plus those gifts of the Spirit that he's put upon you. He will use all of those things, but remember, you're part of a great cause. The cause of getting the gospel to the world. So the work of the Lord is getting the gospel out. Secondly, the work of the Lord is building up the body of Christ. And again, we all have a role to play. You know, it's such a blessing. I don't know if you realize this or not, but did you know that there are 400 volunteers who serve every week faithfully in our children's ministry. They are making a huge investment in building up the body of Christ because they are giving spiritual input into the next generation of adults that are coming up. And it's amazing to me, some of those that are serving over there on a voluntary basis, they've never received a penny compensation. Some of them have been doing this for as many as 30 plus years. Faithfully coming each and every Sunday morning, and there they are greeting you, greeting your children. There they are, generation after generation, they're with those kids. What a great work. It's part of building up the body of Christ. And again, there are many facets to building up the body. There are many different things that can be done, that need to be done. There are many different ways that we can contribute. The point is that this is what we're to be involved in. We're to be abounding in the work of the Lord. And then thirdly, the work of the Lord in many ways can be anything that you dedicate to the Lord that you're doing. So tomorrow you can go back to work, and maybe you've never even had this thought, but you can walk onto the job tomorrow and say, Lord, I'm going to do this job for you today. I'm going to do this as unto you. Lord, this is going to be my act of service to you. This job that I'm doing, and you will find that there will be a revolution in your perspective. And I would imagine that also there's going to be an increase in productivity, and you will also begin to find out that there are things that are happening that you maybe were not aware of, and God wants to use you right there where you're at. But this is the point. As we wait for the Lord to come back, we are to be engaged in activity for him. We are to be steadfast. And I like this second word, immovable. Immovable. I am perplexed at what I see today happening. As I see certain people that I've known, people that I've served the Lord with even, as I see them being moved. I see them being moved out of service because they're too busy doing their own thing right now. I see them in some senses, sometimes even more sadly, I see them being moved away from their relationship with the Lord. Their hearts are growing hard. And I often wonder to myself, how could any thinking person who knows the truth about what the Bible says about the second coming of Christ, how could any thinking person choose this time to start slacking off or walking away? I mean, after all you've got to do is pick up the newspaper, and everything that you read practically is screaming out Bible prophecy. It's screaming out the Lord's coming again. We look at the Middle East. We look at Israel. We look at Europe. We look at the social and cultural conditions around the world. And as I've said before, you know, this is probably the worst time ever to backslide. There's never a good time to backslide, of course. But if there was a strategically bad time to backslide, you picked it. This is not the time to do it. And everything around us is telling us that. And Paul says, in light of these things, be immovable. Don't be moved. Stand fast, hold your ground, and abound in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is not in vain. You know, sometimes we can get the feeling that it is in vain. Sometimes we're just serving and it doesn't seem like anybody cares. We never get any encouragement. We never get a pat on the back. We don't see any results sometimes. How many have prayed for people for such a long time and it just seems like they go from bad to worse. They never get any better. And these things sometimes will tempt us to give up because we think it's in vain, but it's not in vain. No service to the Lord Jesus Christ whatsoever is in vain, for God is not unfaithful, and he will not forget your work and labor of love which you have ministered to his name and that you have reached out to the saints. The Lord, he's keeping track of all of this. And so as we look around us today, and as we see the stage being set, we're not to just spend our time gathering more information about this little prophecy and that little prophecy, but we're to be engaged. The apostles, after the resurrection of Jesus, they thought that the kingdom was going to be immediately set up. And so they said, okay, Lord, now is this the time that you restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said this to them. He said, essentially, no. And then he said this. He said, it's really not your business. He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. In other words, Jesus is saying, look, this isn't your business. The kingdom getting set up is God's business, but I've got something else for you to do, and this is what I want you to concentrate on. He said, you shall receive power, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Now, I think it's right and proper that we be good Bible students. I think it's wise that we understand the times and that we have a general picture of where the prophetic thing is headed. But you know, I've known people over the years who have gotten all consumed with prophecy, and they know every detail about every imaginable prophecy. They have insight into every conspiracy theory that's ever originated. And, you know, they can tell you who the Antichrist is, what his birthday is, and who his parent, you know, all of this kind of stuff. But they can't walk with the Lord consistently. I've met people like that. I've seen people like that. I've even spoken to people who have told me things like, well, you know, I'd like to go out here and serve the Lord, but I think the rapture might come, so I don't want to waste the time. I just stay right here and do nothing. No, that's completely the wrong attitude. Now, I doubt that anybody in here has that perspective, but I have come across those who have. And so, again, these things, they're happening. The world stage is being set. I have no power to affect that. This is God's business. He's bringing it all together. He's brought Israel back into the land. The nations are doing what they're doing because God said that this is what they would do. And that's great. And I need to be able to look at that and understand relatively where I'm at. But at the same time, I've got to realize there's still work to be done. There's still a task to be accomplished, and that is getting the gospel out to people. And so, in closing, as we think of this great and wonderful promise that there is a generation that's going to escape death, that there is a generation that is going to be instantaneously transformed, glorified, transported into heaven, we might very well be that generation. And that is a wonderful reality that we can comfort ourselves with and comfort one another with. But it's something that is to motivate me and to spur me to action. It's time to serve the Lord. And it's time to abound in the work of the Lord. It's time to be living right, to be living holy lives, to be living pure lives. I'm not talking about, you know, Puritanism. I'm not talking about going back to a Victorian kind of morality or something like that, but just a genuine, sincere, godly living in the 21st century that's going to be showing people the reality of Christ and his power to work and to change lives today.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures, but if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Living in Light of the Lord's Return, and the resource number is OBB485. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Our God, you reign. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.